What we've been discussing are the parallel and interrelated dinim of Chovas Kriya and the requirement of Kavana. As we've already established, they're overlapping, but they're not necessarily synonymous. And we have various shittos in the Tanoim and the Amoraim, as well as the Rishonim, that contemplated a different kind of relationship between them. Avi, what are the four shittos that we've seen in the Tanoim and Amoraim, really four or five, depending on how you measure it, with respect to Chovas Kavana? Starting from the minimal to the maximal position. So Reb Meir, which is endorsed by the Balei HaTosos, by the Rambam, by the Ritva, as saying only Pasuk Rishon, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Okay, what's the next Shita up? Shita of Reb Elazar, according to the Balei HaTosos, that would be the first two Psukim. So that would be 2a, and 2b would be Reb Elazar, according to Rashi, which is the first three Psukim. Then the third Shita would be the Shita of Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yochanan, that it's the entire Parsha, Parsha Shema, right? Called Parsha de la Pascha, Moshe Rabbeinu Anon lo Paskinan, right? You can't just extract Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad from its natural environment. And Shita 4 would be... You've seen somebody say explicitly that Kavanah is required for all of Kriyat Shema? I don't think so. Okay, so you mean you're on the right track, but that was for the first two parashiyos. Whose shita is that? Rabbi Yoshia, right? So that would be the fourth shita. So Arba Shehim Chamesh, once you integrate the machlokes between Rashi and Tosus. Now, in terms of the Chovas Kriya, we started to attack that frontally yesterday, David. So again, minakala kavod, what's the smallest, most minimal amount that you'd have to do? And we saw two indications in the Gemara, two pieces of evidence, two data points that might support that. But again, subject to machlokas rishonim. Go ahead, David. Zo kriya shema shel Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, or Rabbeinu HaKadosh, as I like to say, if you interpret it according to Bar Kapara, right, it's already a machlokas tanoim, whether in fact this is admissible evidence. And then there's a machlokas rishonim about what exactly all that means. And then what's the second data point in the Gemara? Rav Nachman and Rabba, right? Those are the other two Amoraim, two very prominent Amoraim, right? Through Avde, as we remember fondly. Makes various appearances throughout Shas. So again, Psuka Kama, the Tsa'ar, Tfei, Lo, Mitza'aron. But that was subject, both of these data points were subject to evaluation by the Rishonim. Let's start with the latter, Ezra Baron. If you wanted to say that there really is nothing to be gained with respect to minimizing Chovas Kriya, so first of all, so the Rambam, okay, is the piece of evidence that would substantiate, right? He says that minimally, Chotafto Shena, Ba'ona Shena, it would be permissible, not optimal, to have only read the first Pasuk, but both Rashi and the Rush challenge such a doctrine, and they say that the Gemara is about Rav Nachman and right, so it's, and Rabba are dealing with Kavana and not the Chovas Kriya. Now, what's inescapable is Kriyat Shema Shel Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. So you could either say, well, we paskin like Rabbi Shimon Berebi, surely he knew what his father did, right? But what about Bar Kapara? Who's the Rishon Noam that was bothered by that? Yoni, which Rishon was explicitly bothered by that? Because he said it was a milsa de pshita. You were waiting for him to say utzmihani. Okay, we saw that before, right? So the Rush was explicitly, right, bothered by that question. And in the end, what it boiled down to after a few hatra kusha leduchtas is that you could only contemplate that under circumstances of Tamma Torah de Rabbim, which we try to interpret in our own way, not as a technical issue or even a quantitative issue, but as a kiyum in Kabbalah's Malchus Shamayim, and that's what granted Rabbi Yehuda Anasi the license to conduct himself as he did. Now again, because of the wealth of Rabbi Zutra and Rabbi Yoshia, we're able to see that they both required explicit psukim midaraisa to establish separately a Chovas Kriya and Kavana. Now that is a gold mine for us, because they both clearly agreed on the fact that one did not imply the other. Right? And what's the other piece of evidence that Kriya does not imply Kavana and Kavana does not imply Kriya? Levi, according to both Rabbi Yoshia and Rabbi Zutra. It's not just that they required separate drashos, midaraisa, to establish the presence of both of them in the Parsha Rishona, but the fact that they both agree that you could have one but not the other, right, in inverse. Rabbi Zutra says you could have a chovas kriya without kavana, and Rabbi Yoshia says you could have a chovas kavana without kriya, okay? That's what's so rich about that discussion in the Gemara. So not only do they agree about Parsha Rishona, but they agree about another very fundamental point, that the chi of kriya and the chi of kavana are fundamentally independent of one another, okay? That's extremely, extremely important. Now, when we talk about the Kabbalah's Malchus Shamayim factor, mostly we've discussed it with respect to the obligation of having Kavana, and small wonder. How could you possibly be Mekabel O Malchus Shamayim without Kavana, right? It's almost a stira minei uveya. How could you even contemplate? I wouldn't even know how to explain what that would look like if a person actually believed that you could be Mekabel O Malchus Shamayim without kavana at some level. It is an awareness, right? Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shamayim is an awareness. As the Lecha Mishnah said, it's a mitzvah tzmidis, right? It's a state of being. It literally is, you know, without having to resort to this reflexively, it is existential. It has to do with your mode of existence. You exist as an Eved Hashem, articulated most beautifully by the Rambam in Hilchos Deos. But, Ben Sion, we saw one very, very clear piece of evidence that there's a chiyuv of Kabbalah's Malchus Shamayim, which has expressed itself having nothing to do with Kavana and strictly at the level of Kriya. Avi? Outstanding. Okay? Give me the Rashi. Srara v'gaiva, right? That you can't possibly be Mekabel O Malchus Shamayim, which means that you're an Eved Hashem. You can't be an Eved and a Sorer at the same time, okay? That is, in itself, a stira minei uveya. So at least in terms of the positioning, the choreography, Pirkei Dan represents a very, very, very important piece of data in our construction of the sugya, because it demonstrates that Hakore Pirkei Dan, meaning Hakore, and you could just, you know, put the words in there, Beli Kabbalas Malchus Shamayim, that can be Le'ikuva. The Rambam there uses the language of Isser. One final point, again, just to do Chazara before we jump into Rabbeinu Yonah's landmark, even watershed comments about Kriya Shema Shel Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. That's why Rabbi Kiva Eger referenced them. Thanks, Rabbi Kiva Eger, once again. Okay, but the very, very important piece of data that we haven't discussed yet, that we came across this week, was Al Levavecha Be'amida. So Yehuda, just remind us the way that was interpreted by the Rishonim. Was that a din in the Kriya? You could have argued, oh, this is, you know, this relates to the mode of Kriya, or that was that interpreted to be a din in the Kavana? That's correct, right? So what you saw two shitos, right, in the Gemara. The Gemara had a machlokes about what would actually require Be'amida, Rami. So what were the two shitos in the Gemara? It was either until the end of the pasuk of Hayu Advarim Ma'ila Shernoch Mitzav Chayom Al Vavecha, or Levi, until where? Just in the Gemara, Ephraim?
The entire parsha.
And they said, oh, Azla Rabbi Yochan Leshitase, because he thinks the entire parsha requires Kavana. And the Rishonim did accept that. Okay, how do I know? What did the Bali Tosos say? That they require Amida only for
the first pasuk.
Leshitasam Halacha Kibasrai. Now, it's really interesting because in that Tosos itself, Tosos, you know, of all the dinim here, and especially relative to Pirkei Dan, Tosos downplayed the significance of Amida. I think Ephraim correctly pointed out, in the light of the Ikar Hadin, which is Beis Hillel, Kol Adam Kore Kedarko, and they, Yenison, how do they formulate it? In the end, it becomes Mitzvah Min HaMovchar. So we thought the Rambam thought it was more substantial than that, but not, you know, li'ikuva. Ilan and I were in agreement about that point, that there's little evidence. The Rambam doesn't say aser, the Rambam just said, let's say lo yatsa. And I think Ilan correctly pointed that, and he had every opportunity to do so, right, especially in light of his Pirkei Dan comments. So the fact is that Amida reinforces the Kavana. And again, different people are, you know, different with respect to multitasking, but as Levi has pointed out on various occasions, my personal minhag, right, is be'amida, you know, when I need to focus on something, you know, I just stop. So, you know, I can really understand why that would be interpreted as a din, not in Kriya, but Yehuda, you're correct, to be a din in Kavana. One last point to Chazer from that Tosus, David, is that it's interesting that the Baal HaTosus, who only think it's a mitzvah min hamovchar, al other shita about Kriya Shema Kivasikin, do quote from the Medrash Tanchuma. Okay, yeah. Now hold his feet to the fire over there. Okay, go ahead. That if there's an actual, there's actual Isser, right? He uses the language of Asser, so that's something to contemplate as well. So what I want everybody to do is to take a look at Rabbeinu Yonah here. Again, you have it in your Dapim Makoros, that's what we're up to. We will pick it up, God willing, at a, let's say, 3:15 exactly, and then we'll take it again straight from there. And the Rabbeinu Yonah is operating, before he draws his conclusion, so he's operating with three basic data points. One of which, of course, involves a very creative reinterpretation of our sugya. One of which addresses a sugya that we saw previously and gives another very creative solution to the problem raised by that. But he gets there primarily through the shita of Rabbi Yoshia. And that is what? Eitan. He looks at Rabbi Yoshia and he says, look, Rabbi Yoshia is mechayev midaraisa based on psukim. Exactly. And mikan ve'elach, parsha shnia mi'elach, kavana below kriya. Now, you know, what do you think? That Rabbi Yoshia didn't say three parshios? Well, we assume that he did. But if he's darshaning based on psukim, Rabbi Yoshia held that the chi of kriya deraisa was for one barak. Okay. Now, you know, we pointed out multiple times, the Gemara never resolved the issue of Rabbi Zutra and Rabbi Yoshia. The Gemara seems to have resolved the issue of Kavana, but it never fully resolved the issue of Kriya. According to Machlokas, there one parasha or two parashios. So Rabbeinu Yonah says, until you prove me wrong, I think that the halacha follows Rabbi Yoshia. And in fact, I think this can help, says Rabbeinu Yonah, with a number of conundrums. First of all, Eitan, Daf Chaf Aleph, go ahead. You don't have to, we'll get to it inside in a second, but says, I think that this can help me explain Shmuel. Lo idchu dvarav. The Gemara never rejected Shmuel flat out. Nobody ever said, Tiyofta de Shmuel, Tiyofta. So let me have my cake and eat it too. Let me say, I don't have to throw out the first 20 and a half blot of the Masechta. Let me say, I don't have to throw out Shmuel. Say, Shmuel was talking about, it's a difficult read of that Gemara, because it's just Safek Hara Kriyat Shema. Let's say that Shmuel was talking about, right, Parasha Sheni Ava Eloch.
Then why would you answer? Why would you ask him?
Okay, I agree. I said very creative reinterpretation of that sugya. And he says, you know, there's another sugya though that has to be dealt with. There's a sugya that deals with what exactly is the minimum amount of kriya. And that, of course, Shimi is a sugya of Zo Kriya Shema. So Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. Now, we read that Gemara. We read it multiple times. We discussed it in the Rishonim. We looked at the extension of that Gemara in terms of Rav Nachman and Rava. And Shimi, what does Rabbeinu Yonah have to say about that? He says, what that Gemara is talking about is, Ezra? The parasha Rishonah. The Gemara says Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad was just a way of saying the parashas Shema. And a very difficult reading of the Gemara, but Rabbeinu Yonah likes the idea. Right? Again, it was more of an extended Ma'avir Yadav Al Panav, apparently, according to Rabbeinu Yonah. But that Kriyas Parsha Rishonah Lechud is Doraisa. Now we'll see that there's a fourth data point that Rabbi Yonah was addressing. That's why the first line was a little difficult for you. You haven't seen that yet. I just had to present it this way. We'll talk about Ha'umnin, Rosh Ha'ilan, Rosh Ha'nidbach. That's where he started talking about Kan B'Parsha Rishona, Kan B'Parsha Shnia. So you start thinking to yourself and saying, wow, that's really quite shocking. Rabbi Yonah thinks that we pask in Aliba the Rabbi Yoshia. Not as far as Kavana goes, but we can isolate the din of Kriya. And then you start thinking a little bit more, and a little bit more, and a little bit more, and then you say, wait a second. Wait a second. Well, the Rambam doesn't pask in that way. The Rambam obviously believes Kriya Shalosh Parashiyos Elu, and not just that, but also Yoseh is Kriya Shema Deraisa. Even though the Rambam, again, will give you, but Makomones Shena, that the minimal amount of Kriya is Pasuk Rishon. But Levi, when you're reading that Rabbeinu Yonah, what Rishon did come to mind? And he said, oh, okay, that's probably what he meant. Mikey? Rashi. Where? Rashi on Beis Amid Aleph. The first machlokas between Rashi and Tosfos and Shah. How again did Rashi think that you could be so mechan kriyat shema l'amita? Right, Avi? Maybe that's what he thought. Okay? Hey mambu v'hey mambu. The rabbis who were mechayev you to read the second and third paragraphs told you, okay, so if you daven early, smichas gula tvila. Tzvila b'tzibur, you had your reasons. You could be so mechanda d'oraisa. Okay, so that's already a chiddush. But maybe that's exactly what Rashi meant. And maybe we'll be able to prove it based on the sugya of Ha'umnin. Now, that's the first half of Rabbeinu Yonah. That's enough right there. That's why Rabbi Kiv Eger wanted us to take a look. But where does Rabbeinu Yonah go from there? Noam, go ahead. Yeah. Possibly nothing, or possibly a lot. I remember Rashi and Daf Beis Amid Aleph in his Machlokes with the Balei HaTosos thinks that if one read Kriyat Shema before Tzei Sechul Chavim, right, for purposes of Smichas Gula Tzvila, Tzei Lamod B'Tzvila Mitoch Devrei Torah, that one can be so mechan Kriyat Shema Alamita. And the Balei HaTosos, right, get exorcised. And they say, I thought you needed three parshios, and I thought you needed Rabbi Yochanan, and I thought you needed Kriyat Shema Zmina Min Azikin. And what about the brachos? Right, the four kashas. Right, when they get up to say the four kashas, right? Well, the kids who are into lumdas, they just... Okay, so that could be that Rashi actually holds like Rabbeinu Yonah. So where does Rabbeinu Yonah go from here? Akiva?
He starts a conversation about...
whose issue?
The Rav teaching the students.
But whose issue was that? Yehuda? Well, the Rambam clearly believes all three parshas are d'oraisa.
Would Rashi still
I doubt it.
So then he isn't really holding like Rabbeinu Yonah.
But I'm just pointing out on the Doraisa level, right? It's worth pointing out. I think Rashi doesn't think in general you can ignore Dinim Dirabanan. That's why he said it was like a Heim Amru, a Heim Amru. If you did it for this reason. So Daniel, whose issue does Rabbeinu Yonah start talking about? The same issue that bothered the Rosh. Right? That whole second half of Rabbeinu Yonah. So Avi, what does he end up saying? Does he go the Talmud Torah Derabim direction?
No.
What does he say?
He says that only for God lets us change by myself, only for the Lira, that's still
bad. Beautiful. What in the world does he mean by that? It's like all Amiras are interchangeable. And you're starting to wonder, what about Mikra Megillah? Isn't that an Amira too? You wondered about that, right? Yeah, he considers that to be a mitzvah masis. He's like, shofar, lulav, Megillah. So he says, you know, yavo shinun v'yidcha shinun. V'lo yavo shinun v'yidcha maisa. So we're not exactly sure what he means by that. But there is a hint. And there's a hint in terms of the one mitzvah maasis that he... Oh, very good. Okay, so Shai, what's the hint? Okay, so he says, you know, tefillin isn't going to be totally, you know, pushed off by Talmud Torah, but, Ezra?
It actually replaces it because it is...
Not entirely, not in terms of... Okay, good. That's the word I was looking for. So the mechayev of tefillin, not according to me, not even according to Reb Chaim, but according to the Torah, is l'man tia Torah Hashem b'ficha. So if that's the mechayev of tefillin, then tefillin can quote unquote give ground to Talmud Torah without being too offended. Right? Maybe not during Kriyat Shema and Tefillah, because that's Kabbalas Malchus Shemayim Shlema. So that's already the big hint in terms of what was driving Rabbeinu Yonah. So what do you, what now Avi, go back and plug it in. So what was he trying to say then? So he's trying to say that if the Mechayev is really the same, that the Shinunin that we have a very similar Mechayev to Talmud Torah, then we're not going to get too upset about it. So what's he trying to say about Rabbi Yehuda Nasi in the end? Rabbi Yehuda Nasi was involved in Talmud Torah the Rabbim. Yavo shinun v'yidcha shinun. You know, you can't say, oh, I'm giving a shiur, I don't have to go listen to shofar. Can't say, I'm giving a shiur, I don't have to go, you know, do dalad minim. But you can say, I'm giving a shiur, and so the mitzvah of kriyat shema is going to give ground. Yavo shinun v'yidcha shinun. So once you see, again, his line about tefillin, what must he believe? What's Rabbeinu Yonah locking himself into? That the mechayev of Kriyat Shema and the mechayev of Talmud Torah have more to do with each other than we might otherwise have thought. Right? Yeah. Yeah, again, that's the Rush's solution. He tries to make it about, you know, Talmud Torah Derabim, but you already know that Rabbeinu Yonah is not going to say that because he lists Megillah, right? And Megillah is Doche, Talmud Torah Derabim. Right? So you know that that's not the direction that he wants to go in. But, again, Tefillin is the giveaway. Because he says Tefillin, the Mechayev is Talmud Torah, and that's why, you know, we'll reduce Tefillin for Talmud Torah's sake. And here too, apparently. So the Yavo Shinon V'yitcha Shinon, it's interesting he uses the term Shinon, because that already is a term of Limud HaTorah. And he says, Kriyat Shema, you know, has a very big dimension of it that really is driven by Talmud Torah. Now, we've formulated that repeatedly in terms of Kabbalah's Malchus Shemayim, that Talmud Torah is a perfectly acceptable way of being Mekabel O Malchus Shemayim. I gave the mashal, if you want to demonstrate your fealty to Shimi Greengard, if you were the king, so when you studied, you know, Shimi's Laws, Volume 1, that would be a very profound demonstration of commitment of fealty to Shimon the First, king of Greengardia. So we relate to that. So Rabbeinu Yonah wants to say something very similar to that. Now, again, this is only going to be relevant for somebody then who's, you know, for whom you can say their Talmud Torah really is like a Kabbalah's Malchus Shemayim, and you know, it probably go back to Torah Sambum Nusan, but that already is an amazing chiddush. So two massive chidushim in this Rabbeinu Yonah. Again, point number one, that we paskin like Rabbi Yoshia. The Chi of Kriya is only Daraisa for the first parak. We wonder, perhaps Rashi beat him to it. Okay, is that the Pshat in Rashi in Beis Amud Aleph? Okay, we'll see further evidence of that in the Sugya of Ha'umnin. Okay, and the second point is same question as the Rush, but a very different conclusion. that mitzvos shel amira, but they're not, he doesn't really mean amira. It's not just verbalization. Otherwise, mikra megillah would be on the list. But he says mitzvos where the mechayev is very similar to Talmud Torah, so they can give ground to Talmud Torah because it's not really a kula in that mitzvah because they're overlapping themes. Even to the point of tefillin, which is clearly a mitzvah masis, l'ma'an tiyah Torah Hashem b'ficha. So you'd have to figure out, you know, what are those things, you know, which really are driven by the same impetus as Talmud Torah, and he thinks, this Rabbeinu Yona thinks, that Kriyat Shema can be very much on that list. Okay, Yavo Shinun v'yidche Shinun. So that's a very important point in Rabbeinu Yona, and again, it establishes firmly a shita that does take a stand on Kriya, it didn't Kriya per se. Daraisa, it's only the first paragraph. The Gemara didn't resolve that issue. And we don't pask like Rabbi Yoshia in Kavana, but we do pask like Rabbi Yoshia, he thinks, Linyan Kriya, and Shmuel, Kriya Shema Shel Rabbeinu HaKadosh. We're going to see his other raya from the Sugya of Ha'umnin, Perek Rishon versus Perek Sheni. Yeah, okay, so that is the Rabbeinu Yona. Yeah, Mikey, go ahead.
So, with Rabbeinu Yona there, what question exactly?
What is the Chi of Kriya, Midaraisa?
But didn't he... No,
I mean, the first half or the second half?
The second half.
The second half is, he's trying to figure out what exactly Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi was doing. So, even if he thinks that Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi finished the entire first paragraph, right, so... You know, why is it the case that he's just allowed to skip out on the rest of Kriyat Shema? If you hold like Bar Kapara.
Wouldn't it be
the last time I checked, Megillah was a Din Derabanan. Right? It's okay. Right. Okay. Shai?
Rabbeinu Yona doesn't say that. It says that he's still like put his head down, right? And he's still...
It was just a longer Mavri Yadav Alpanav. So the entire first paragraph. It's really deep in thought.
If he's being somach on the Lima Torah to, I guess, allow him to not say the entire thing, is that the key in Libra of, like, you know, Hekobah Torah, kind of something like that, that you're having the mindset of Hekobah Samach Shemayim?
That's what I suggested a minute ago. You'd probably have to fall back on somebody for whom it really was like a Kabbalah Samach Shemayim. But, you know. Yeah. Yenison, go ahead.
Well, I kind of find a bit. I don't want to say drop it, but a lesson that's more like drop it than what's like being drop it. But in your previous, we're saying you're trying to compare the Madame to the young to Mrs., which is what we're trying to do by Tefillin and Tantara. It seems like you would need use some sort of Kavana by Tantara in order to be like the creation.
I agree.
Additionally, also a lesson we need you. I mean, Talmud Torah is not the actual. I think we need to draw things and stuff, but the meaning of Talmud Torah isn't really limited to that. I mean, you feel a mitzvah, but also well.
Yeah, he clearly doesn't mean Amira just in the sense of verbalization. Otherwise, why is Kriyas Megillah not on that list, and why is Tefillin on the list, right? So he's using it as a melitza, Yavo Shinon V'yidcha Shinon. What he really means to say is that if Talmud Torah and this other mitzvah have the same mechayiv, then you can learn Torah at the expense of that mitzvah without it being, you know, an undue kula. So that's what we've been discussing, is that it could be that the Mechayiv of Talmud Torah has something to do with the same Mechayiv as Kriyat Shema. That's what Rabbeinu Yonah is trying to get at. Just like he says about Talmud Torah and Tefillin. Right? So it doesn't sound like he's saying it's a technical Amira issue, because otherwise, right, Ephraim, you'll agree, you're stuck on the Megillah point. It's just a verbalization, right? And there's no, you know, you can say there's a minhag of waving the Igeres, but come on, that doesn't make it a mitzvah ma'asis. That's not Netilas Lulav over there. Yeah, Mikey, go ahead.
So then if Rabbeinu Yona says that since the Mechayev is essentially the same,
overlapping, yeah.
Then you
can drop the last two paragraphs, yeah.
But then what about the first paragraph?
Yeah, so he's saying he's not saying it's a zero-sum game, right? He's not saying that you can completely disregard the independent chiyuv of Kriyat Shema. But he's wondering the same thing like he says by tefillin. He says, look, we're not obliterating tefillin as a mitzvah altogether. He says you're going to still need tefillin b'shas kriyat shema b'shas talmud torah, b'shas tefillah, but you can reduce it. He's just right. He thinks that the bar is a little lower than you're setting it. You're saying, can you obliterate the mitzvah? He's saying, no. You know, but we would have had to stop Talmud Torah altogether from Megillah. We don't say, oh, you know, come in here the last three chapters of the Megillah. Get there for Charvona. Right?
Wait, there's only a second Charvona.
What's
that? You're going to have the last four prophets. You're going to get the second Charvona, not the first
time. Ah. Nice. So then you need to go to both Charvonas. Yeah. Go ahead, Ram.
Does that mean that the riff that Ravine Yonah is saying, if there's no chiyuv of Zechir Yetzias Mitzrayim, Zechir Kol Mitzvot in the third paragraph?
No, right? Because remember that was dealt with in the Gemara itself.
And how is Ravine Yonah saying that the last paragraph?
Even according to Rabbi Shimon Barabi, right? Saying even if I held, he came back and he finished everything. He still held that there was a din. He did it through Talmud Torah because he wanted to be Mazkir Yetzias Mitzrayim Bizmana. We thought that was a really strong raya, the idea that Zechir Yetzias Mitzrayim is an intrinsic part of Kabbalah's Malchus Shemayim. Yeah, Avi.
I heard you say Yom HaShem for Shema, maybe Kabbalah's Atelos, and it's more than just Shema.
Yeah, again, he's not saying it, like I said to Mikey, he's not saying this about the first paragraph, right? He's saying it about 2 and 3, right? So he says, but he's bothered. He says, I don't understand, like, you know, how exactly can you just ignore the entire rest of Kriyat Shema? You don't say ignore the mitzvah derabbanan of Megillah. So just take 5 minutes. So what's that all about? So he says, oh, it's like tefillin. You know, you could reduce tefillin, because it's the same mechayiv in the end. Laman tiyat Torah Hashem b'ficha. So conceptually speaking, that's a massive chiddush. But again, it fits into our rubric. We're trying to say that, you know, both the point of interface between Kriyat Shema and Talmud Torah, right, is that Kabbalah Smachos Shamayim. Yeah, Akiva.
To insert a question.
Yes. Yeah. That's correct.
Even Torah Nasa.
Yes.
You have to be last for
Kriyat Shema. Right. So he doesn't want to go down that road of Talmud Torah Derabban being any different because of Megillah, presumably, because it's on his list.
But either way,
because the Gemara starts on Daf Yud, and the Gemara is trying to figure out Tefillah versus Talmud Torah, with the assumption that Tefillah is a Din Derabbanan, and there's a double Machlokes. So it's Rab and Rav Hamnuna and Rab Yirmi and Rab Zeira. If I remember this, it's a Meser Azno Mishmo Torah, Gam Tvilaso Toeva, right? So it's a machlokas, it's a double machlokas amoraim in terms of stopping learning for Tvila, possibly Tvila Betzibor. And then the Gemara comes back and says, but that's only Tvila. But we'd all agree that if there was a Daraisa at stake, you know, Kriyat Shema. But again, for Rabbeinu Yona, the Daraisa has already been handled, the Parsha Rishona. So you can't be so mech on that Gemara. Yeah, I said that a minute ago. I said it's interesting that he used the term Shinun, and you switched over from Amira. Yeah, I think that's what he was trying to get at. You see, Talmud Torah, Kriyat Shema, Vishinat Levanacha, for sure, that's what he was, Yavo Shinun, Vietcha Shinun. Okay. All right, so now Ha'umnin. This discussion for Rabbeinu Yonah started with Ha'umnin, so we might as well go and see Ha'umnin. That's why, like I said, the first line was a little bit difficult, I'm sure. But, Levi, go ahead. So let's take a look at the Mishnah. Then the Gemara, the Rashi, Tosfos, and then the Rambam. And this will set us up on a good cliffhanger for next week. Okay. Yes, Levi, as loud as you can, because you're all the way back there.
Right.
So the Mishnah says, "Umnin korin b'rosh ha'ilan v'rosh ha'nidbach, ma'ashein on rishayin la'asos kein b'tfila." So a nidbach is like a wall. So the umnin can stay up in the tree. After all, you know, Yaakov hatzadik. You can't cheat your employer at all. Hayisi bayom, achalani chore v'kerach v'alayla v'tidat shnasim me'enai. So the umdin are not going to get down. The balabayas has to get down no matter what. So the umdin are korei berosha ilan berosha nidbach benat tefila. Okay, so that's the Mishnah. Well, we'll get there as next. So let's see the Rashi already on that. Three Rashis. Parin l'sham miyad. So they don't have to get down. They don't have to rappel down. Okay. What's a nidbach? Is a binyan shal avanim? Obviously, mashen rishayin last night came b'tfila. And all your alarm sensors are going off. Like, wait a second, I thought tefillah required, I thought Kriyat Shema required kavanah at some minimal level. To mystify, they're scared. Exactly. Okay, so it sounds like Rashi is sort of surrendering up front the din of Kavana by Kriyat Shema. You know that can't be the case because this is Daf Tezayin. We've already been through Daf Yud Gimel. So let's go for a more refined understanding. Tanu Rabbanan, the Gemara. Ha'umnin. Those are sturdy trees. Because after all, Levi, he's not on the clock. He can do whatever he pleases. He's the Baal HaBayis. Right, nobody thinks that this is ideal, but the Umnin, since they're on the clock, will say that as far as Kriyat Shema goes and Tefillah with respect to certain trees, so they can stay up in the foliage. Okay. Okay, Balabayas Ben Kach Uben Kach Yuri the Matu is Palavishin Datum Yishavislav. So Rami Lev of Mari. So usually we identify people by their fathers' names, right? Right. So Rashi explains that here the issue was, is remember Shmuel's daughter Nixuvis was taken captive. So Rav Mari was the product of that forced union. The gentleman, if you could use the term, later converted. Very interesting story. Ephraim, do you happen to remember what happens in that Gemara? What did Abba Shmuel say to Shmuel? Okay, so Kishkaga Hayotze Mipi Ashel. It's very important in Gemara that Shmuel Paskin Lechumra about a group of wives of Kohanim that were taken into captivity, and Abba de Shmuel got upset at him. He says, imagine it was your own daughter, then it happened to Shmuel's daughter, Kishkaga Hayotze Mipi Ashel. Okay, so that's the backstory here of Mari, brother of Shmuel, the Rava. Alma loboy kavana, exactly the way Rashi explained it. That's why in tefillah, rachamim ninu, you need kavana, we're not going to let it. Minu akarishma. Haskes ushma Yisrael. Yes, he had nothing to say to that. So he says, there's obviously a problem. You do need kavana for Shema. I have no idea how to make sense of this. They should definitely have to, if they can't daven, then they can't say Kriyat Shema there. Okay. So he asked, did you hear anything about this? Amar Lai, so he says, yeah, I did. Oh. So this is like the Gemara about Amida, right? So as long as they're batel mimlachtan for a very brief amount of time, they can then recite Kriyat Shema. Tefillah, we're not going to let them do it, but for Kriyat Shema they can, because again, they're on the clock. We wouldn't give this dispensation to the Baal HaBayis. Okay. Well, Haba Perek Rishon, Beperek Sheni. Now, this is not going to get you to Rabbeinu Yonah, right? Because this isn't a question of not saying Perek Sheni. But again, this is what got him started in terms of thinking in this direction. Ha Beperek Rishon, Ha Beperek Sheni. Okay, so Levi, if you don't mind, just take a look at the Rashi of Ha Umnin Korin Berosha Ilan. afilu bisman. So that makes it sound like they don't require kavana. But then we said haske sushma Yisrael. So the answer was okay. Let them be batel mimlachtan v'korin. Okay, perek rishon. Okay, very good. So Rashi thinks, right, that the upshot of this Gemara should be that the first parsha does require kavana, which would be amazing, because then according to Rashi, if we could be mitzari if this Rashi to Bezam and Aleph, then Rashi might actually align the dinim of Kriya and Kavana, because Rashi never committed to what Tosfos, Ritva, Rambam, and Rabbeinu Yonah all committed to, namely Halacha Kibasrai. That remains an outstanding possibility. Okay? But the Balei HaTosfos were having none of it. They say, nothing to see here, nothing interesting in this Gemara. Levi, take us through the Tosfos. Ha beperek rishon. So he says, just like Rabbeinu Yonah does the Gemara, Nid Gimel Amud Beis, Tosfos does the Gemara on Tezayin, right? Rabbeinu Yonah says, there it's the Pasuk Rishon, it's talking about the Perek Rishon. Here the Balei HaTosfos say, it talks about the Perek Rishon, it really means the Pasuk Rishon. Because after all, this is a Gemara about Kavana. So the Balei HaTosfos, you know, they take the Gemara, which is hardly the only time in Shas they do this, away from the simple text to fit into the categories that they've already developed. And as far as they're concerned, Deitan, there are only two categories that we know about. One is called Kavana, and the other one is called Kriya. Okay? Now you picked up on this, and if you saw the first line in Rabbeinu Yonah, so Akiva, what would the third category be? If you want to read the Gemara, Kipshuto, but you still want to maintain Halacha Kibasrai, then what do you have to develop?
There's Kavana below Kriya.
Say it better. I know what you're trying to say.
You can have, the Gemara about Kriya Shema Shel, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, really seems to be saying that he would only be Kore, especially if you hold like Bar Kapara,
right,
that he would only be Kore Pasuk Rishon. And the Gemara about Rabbi Nachman and Drura Havde, Beinayim Chadasha, it just looks like it's the same thing with Kriya. On the other hand, the Gemara here, Stam, seems to say that in the entirety of Perek Rishon, we're Bai Kavana. So it seems like they're, like, you know, the Havta until the end of the Perek is a din of Kavana below Kriya.
Din of Kavana below Kriya?
Yeah.
That's what? Good. Okay, so let's take a look at the Rambam. Very good. Okay, so the Rambam develops the idea. We'll see what the basis of this Rambam is as we go forward. But Levi, that was very well done. So why don't you finish up? These are your just desserts. Maschal b'mitzvah omrim lo gemor. Okay. The hind of the Nidbach, right? Wow, okay. So the Rambam thinks that there are three dinim. The minimal amount of kriya that one should do for the Rambam is one pasuk. Right? Rav Nachman, Rabbah, Truavde, fine. Minimal amount that one could do. And quite possibly kriya shema shel Rabbeinu HaKadosh as well, pointing us in that direction. It's not optimal. The chatchila, one should do all three parshios midaraisa. So that's the Rambam's treatment of kriya. Kavana, also optimally, you should have kavana the whole time. But minimally you need kavana for just the first pasuk, halacha kibasrai. There's a Gemara in Daf Tezayin, right? When it came to Amida, the Rambam says, okay, let's take Amida and say Amida is absolutely synonymous with Kavana. The Rambam said, you can't do that with this Gemara, because it's explicit. This Gemara said, Parsha Rishon and Parsha Shnia. The Balei HaTosfos had the audacity to do it to this Gemara also. The Balei HaTosfos did on Tezayin what they did on Yud Gimel and Beis. They are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook. Okay, they did exactly the same thing with Amida as they did with Poalin and Betelim Mimalachdan. Okay, right? We're just trying to win a game here. Okay? So the Baalei HaTosfos said it was all about Kriya and Kavana, that they just saw things in binary terms. So the Gemara here says Perek Rishon. Oh, we already know Halachik Basrai Daf Yud Gimel. If this is Aliba Derava Pasuk Rishon, don't pay attention when it says Perek Rishon. It just means Pasuk Rishon. Nothing to see here. Let's move along. Let's continue on with the Chasan Pater Mikriyashma. The Rambam said not so fast. You can't do that. The Gemara was explicit here. It says Habe Perek Rishon, Habe Perek Shin. Now I, the Rambam, already committed. I'm a committed Halachik Basrai kind of a guy. Rashi, maybe he's not committed. Okay, maybe Rashi aligns the din of Kriya and Kavana. Maybe he thinks that Kriya has required Midaraisa for the first parak and Kavana has required Midaraisa for the first parak. Put together Bezim and Aleph and Tezayim and Aleph. Maybe that really is Shitas Rashi. Where did Rashi ever say Halacha Kibasrai? He never committed to that. Tosos, Mitzvah, Rambam all did. So the Rambam says, if I'm going to be faithful to this Gemara and I'm not going to turn my back on my Psak elsewhere, I need a third din. And that's exactly what you said, Ezra. That's Arai. Which means the following. Daraisa, you have to read all three paragraphs in order. Shalosh parashios al seder zehiyah nikreis kriyat shema. Kavana, be great if you had it the whole time, but it's only really required for Shema Yisrael, Shem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, Meir, Halacha Kibasrai. Then why are we making the Poalim stop, not just for Pasuk Rishon, as Tosfos would have us reinterpret the Gemara, but for the entire parasha? It's because parasha Shema still has special status. And what is that special status? That it cannot be Arai. Now put this in terms of categories with which we're already familiar, Avi. Did somebody ever come along and say, Parsha Shema is Kabbalas Malchus Shemayim? What's that? Well, before the Rambam got that. Rabbi Yeshua Megorcha. Rabbi Shua ben Korcha in the Mishnah, David Gimel, he's the Bala Maimer. Okay? So the Rambam said, oh, just like you can't be Mekabel O Malchus Shemayim Pirkedan, right? Lashon, you know, Sarara V'gaiva. So you can't be Mekabel O Malchus Shemayim Derech Haroi. And that, Derech Haroi, means that I'm doing other things while I'm doing it. Derech Haroi means that I'm walking around the kitchen making coffee. I'm up in the tree pruning. That's a good question. It's a good question. What exactly is the definition of arai? So you know, behaviorally speaking, what it is. It means for the poalin to continue to do their malacha. What's that? It sounds like it's multitasking. It sounds like it should be related to amida, but it's not exactly the same because amida, right, is only then for the first pasuk. So clearly, walking and doing other things is not the same, like walk and chew gum, right? So the Rambam said you could walk during the first paragraph, but you can't do malacha. So we're going to be on the lookout, okay, for what arai is. It's something that eats away at the Kabbalas Malchus Shamayim. So again, here are we now, this is the point that we really want to emphasize. Here we now are breaking new ground. So the Baalei HaTosfos would not go along with this. But the Rambam is saying that you have to think about things in terms of kavana. You have to think about things in terms of kriya, but you also have to think about things in terms of keva versus arai. Okay? And Kabbalas Malchus Shamayim is a factor at all three levels. That's what Pirkei Dan proved. Avi, you said it before. Pirkei Dan means that there's a din of Kabbalas Malchus Shamayim in the kriya itself. Okay? And I think that's why the Rambam says the Seder matters, because first you're Mekabel Malchus Shamayim, and then, you know, you go on to the other very important ideas. Okay, but there's a din of Kavana, as it relates to Kabbalas Malchus Shamayim. You must have Kavana for the first Pasuk. But then in terms of the first Parsha, the Parsha which is defined as the Parsha of Kabbalas Malchus Shamayim, that can't be Derech Arai. So this now opens up the Sugya to the next level. Okay? The Baalei HaTosfos knew that this was a problem. And instead of resorting to this third din of Arai versus Keva, they just said, okay, let's reread the Gemara here. Just like we did by Amida, when it said Amida is the entire first parak, oh, we paskin, Kavan is only the first pasuk, so we'll do it our way. Okay? So that's a very, very important point. point of departure. Now the Rambam and the Baalei Tosfos are going to go their own separate ways on this issue. And now we've been machalik today in two very different ways between Parsha Rishona and the rest of the Parshios, Aliba the Rambam and Aliba the Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah will say the distinction is felt in terms of the Chovas Ha Kriya. First Parsha is Daraisa, everything else is Derabanan. The Rambam also agreed there was a qualitative difference between the first Parsha and the other Parshios, but not in terms of the Chovas Kriya, but in terms of Po'alin B'Teli Mimalachtan, because otherwise it would be Arai. Okay? So we're seeing parallel distinctions, but in different areas of Halacha. Okay, so what we have to try to now chase through, this is going to take us a long time, don't worry, it's a very, very painstaking thing, is to see how Arai comes up in different areas as well. Okay, so let's hold it up there. Avi, go ahead, you'll get the last word.